Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
18-point lead for the Bucks again. Giannis the other way. Spins around his man. Drives in and punishes the rim as he punches it through with a left-hand jam.
Bucks talk starts now.
Giannis the other way. Deliberates top of the arc. He's going to try that mid-range shot again, and this time he's pure. He's got 27 points, and Doug Christie's got a problem.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Yeah, Doug Christie had a big problem all night with his defense. It has been a bit of, I guess I could say, fool's gold for this Kings defense. During the seven-game win streak in the eight games under Doug Christie, they'd been the fifth-best defense in the league in that stretch. They don't give up a lot of shots at the rim. When you looked at the defensive shot profile of this Kings team, you thought, huh, that's interesting. But as the game wore on and you started to dig a little bit further, you kind of saw, okay, I think part of this is they don't give up a lot of shots at the rim because they give up a lot of three-point shots. And the defense being fifth, and look, credit to the Kings because there's been some impressive wins during that win streak. The most impressive really handling the Boston Celtics on the road. But I think what really backs up what this defense has done and what the Bucks were able to do tonight is, you know, Doc talked about this after that game that I think a lot of us would rather forget against the New York Knicks the other day. If you're constantly taking the ball out of the net, your offense isn't going to keep up. And the Kings are one of those offenses. Doug Christie said before the game tonight, we are all gas, no brakes. That was a big part of their defensive success, that they're getting up and down the floor, they're scoring a lot, and as the opposing team, when you're taking the ball into that, slowly your offense is just going to start to lose its steam, so it's not necessarily things the Kings are doing well, it's just it's starting to weigh on you. And that's what we saw tonight. The Bucks were doing to the Kings what the Kings have done to other teams. In that first half especially, this is far and away the best this offense has looked in this year and a half.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Justin. Could you draw up a better get-right game for the Bucks? You know, after that, you know, 141-106 loss in New York to the Knicks. This was another one you and I had talked about was going to be a tough one. The Kings, seven in a row, red hot, three straight road wins included in that seven-game win streak, and this was exactly what you wanted to see from this Bucks team. They've been resilient kind of all year long, being able to fight through injuries and a rough, slow start and the scheduling of the NBA Cup and just have always kind of answered the call and stood up when their backs were kind of getting pushed against it. And tonight was a perfect example for that. I got two game balls tonight. And again, this is kind of going to be, you could probably go to Giannis every night, but when you score 33 points, you got 11 boards, you dish the ball 13 times. You and I have talked about it a number of times. When your best players are in the double digits when it comes to assists, you, number one, you get a game ball. Number two, you're going to win like you saw tonight with a 130-115 win over the Kings. Giannis was just incredible for this team tonight. I thought Damian Lillard, he gets an honorable mention. I thought he did a really good job, Justin, setting the tone early for this Bucks team. He had two early three-pointers in the game. He finished, I believe, with 24. So he set the tone early for this Bucks team. But Giannis, consistently, as he usually does, kind of carried them all game long. The Kings got within 15 after being down by more than 20 in that third quarter, and then Giannis comes back-to-back mid-range jumpers, and from that point on, it kind of just took off. I know they crawled back in with an 11, but the Bucks, he just dominated, 14-23 from the field. We had talked about some of his struggles at the rim, just two misses tonight. I thought he did a really good job cleaning that up. And then I got a second game ball, which is kind of out of the norm. Like, if you look at the box score, Justin, you'd probably guess it'd be somebody else. But I thought Taurean Prince was good tonight. And I know if you're looking at the box score, you're like, oh, he only had four shots. He made three of them, but he felt smooth tonight. And I really like this starting lineup. And maybe that's a conversation for you and I down the road of this show. But he only took four shots. He made them. They were all three-pointers. The defense on the perimeter was a big test for this Bucks team tonight. I thought he was fantastic along with pretty much everybody. I know DeMar DeRozan had 26 points, but I thought the perimeter defense was good tonight. Again, just 9 points from Prince. Didn't really force anything, but he made the shots that he got, and it just felt smooth from him tonight. And a little bit of what we kind of saw all season, the catch and shoot. I think two of the three that he made were corner threes. So I really liked, you know, what I saw from Taurean Prince. And I know you, Justin, are a big plus or minus guy. Giannis with plus 30, that was a team high. Taurean Prince just had the 9 points. He, you know, played over 25 minutes, but he was the second highest with plus 26. I don't know. I just liked what I saw from Taurean Prince tonight in the starting lineup with no Chris Middleton and no Gary Trent Jr. The perimeter defense was definitely going to get tested tonight. And as a team, they did a phenomenal job. But Giannis gets the game ball. That goes without saying. Another triple-double. And Taurean Prince, just because from an eye test, Justin, I don't know what the metrics say. It felt like a good game from him.
855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I agree. Taurean Prince, I thought, was really good. Whenever he's hitting the corner three, it just it feels like the offense is humming.
It's a killer for the defense. Like you do everything you can. You collapse on Giannis. You blitz Dame, and then Taurean Prince is open in the corner. And as a defense, you're just shrugging your shoulders like, man.
So there's a couple of things the Bucks did well tonight. That, you know, we talked about Giannis and whether or not the hand was still lingering or bothering him a little bit here. I believe the dunks that he had one-handed were once again left-handed dunks.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting.
He did at least hit a couple of those mid-range shots tonight. He started out much better at the free throw line, hit his first three.
Yeah, he did.
And finished 5 of 7. But there was one thing that stood out to me tonight that the Bucks have really struggled with by the numbers this season. And tonight it was not a problem. And Doc Rivers even sought to call that out after the game and what he really liked about what he saw. I do want to get into that, and curious to see if you have any thoughts at what that could possibly be. So we'll have that conversation. And also, you mentioned Taurean Prince and how good he was. I agree. I think this group has worked as kind of the eye test with the starting lineup. The numbers don't necessarily back that up, so I do want to get into that conversation as well. But as mentioned, plenty of time to hear from you. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight is the Bucks open up the 4-game homestand with a victory. And now night 2 of a back-to-back tomorrow is a very important game for the Bucks, but one where they may get quite a bit of help. We'll open up that conversation in just a moment as well. So a lot to get to from an impressive wire-to-wire win for the Milwaukee Bucks. What that one thing was the Bucks have really struggled with, but executed pretty well tonight. We'll open up that conversation after this.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Wire-to-wire win tonight for the Bucks, who take down the Kings 130-115. I'm Justin Garcia, joined as always by Brandon Snide here on Bucks Talk as Bucks get to 4 games above 500 now and back up to 5th in the Eastern Conference. A chance to get back to 4th tomorrow against the Magic. I mentioned that's an important game. We'll get to that in a moment. But I said there is one thing that the Bucks have really struggled with this season. The numbers back it up. I have them here in front of me. It wasn't an issue tonight. So I will give you this hint, Brandon. It involves Damian Lillard and the Bucks offense. What do you think the broad subject of this could be that the Bucks have really struggled with this season?
Well, if you're mentioning Damian Lillard there, I'm going to go with getting him shots early.
So, in moments where Damian Lillard is the ball handler and the defense blitzes or pressures and double teams, the Bucks' offense is 29th in the league. It's an offensive rating of 99.1, an effective field goal rate of 51%, which not good. 60s is what you're shooting for there. They have really struggled with that. And I was talking about this with someone else the other day. And you know, it kind of seems like, and I know Doc has talked about this, but pressuring not just Dame, the Bucks period, has kind of been an Achilles heel of sorts that, you know, we've talked about, hey, the value of Chris Middleton. He's another ball handler, despite a segment of Bucks fans that believe he's the worst and he's a turnover machine, that Chris Middleton can still run the offense and get guys organized. Giannis certainly can do that. Damian Lillard can do that. That's it. And one of the things you keep wondering is, do they need another, maybe not point guard per se, but another ball handler to help withstand some of that pressure and deal with that? It was one of the things that really popped about Ryan Rollins earlier this season. And granted, Ryan Rollins is not a traditional point guard. He is a combo guard that Doc Rivers has said, we are trying to teach him to be a point guard. But a guy that has shown the willingness and ability to handle pressure has really stood out for this team because of that. So it is going to remain a work in progress. Like, one game does not fix that. I don't have the numbers on what the Bucks did in those spots tonight, but the eye test and the fact that Doc Rivers spoke about it after the game too tells you, yeah, it was much better tonight. Like, the Kings weren't doing it until the second half when it seemed like the strategy of, we got to do something different. I know, let's double team Damian Lillard. It wasn't working, but it was at least slowing down the Bucks' offense. But the more he saw it, the better the Bucks adjusted to it, and we started to see those shots go through. So I'm hopeful. This is just more of, let's continue to see more of it. More importantly, you're healthy, and you got guys that are playing better now and starting to hit shots more and more. But more and more doses of this to see those areas for the offense start to get better, because you're going to see it in the playoffs. You're going to see it against the best defenses in the league. So you better get used to it, because the numbers I just rattle off, you know, in the middle of the pack or lower in the league. So it's, I said they're 29th. It's not 29 out of 30 teams. It's out of the ball handlers. So, you know, 50, 60, whatever of your primary ball handlers that are out there, 29th. So at best, you're slightly worse than league average, essentially. Like, that's something that's going to be important for the Bucks as we start to get deeper and deeper into the season. And it seemed as though they handled it pretty well tonight.
Well, and you can look at it too. Like, look at what Brook Lopez did tonight, which could be a big factor in what you're talking about with the 21 points, 8 of 15 from the field. I thought he was exceptional as well tonight, and kind of hit, you know, him and Dame have always kind of had that a good rapport, I feel like, a good chemistry in the two-man pick-and-roll game. I thought tonight, you know, going to the Damian Lillard with the blitzing and getting the ball out of his hands, I thought him and Giannis early on too tonight, Justin, were extremely efficient in that two-man game, that pick-and-roll, and Lillard trying to find Giannis cut into the rim. I'm a big fan of running the offense through Damian Lillard. I think things just for this offense go a little bit easier for this team, you know, offensively speaking, and getting guys open looks. You know, again, I mentioned at the beginning of the show about Taurean Prince and what he has brought to this team, especially early on in this season, especially tonight, 3 for 4 from three. You can only guard Damian. You can only blitz Damian Lillard so many times and double-team Giannis so many times. Somebody's going to be open. And it's a make-or-miss league. Tonight was not the Kings' night when it comes to that. And tonight was the Bucks' night. And they, you know, for big stretches of this game, they really weren't even shooting the three ball that great. But, you know, they were able to facilitate it in a way that we just have not seen quite enough of this year. 32 assists tonight, I believe, for this Bucks team, which... That first quarter, Justin, put that first quarter on every teach tape for this team. I mean, that was 47 points. You tweeted it out. It was a season high for the Bucks. 12 assists in that quarter. And Damian Lillard, to your point, was a huge reason why. I mean, he had a few buckets, but he was also able to find the open guy, and guys were just simply hitting shots, something we just haven't seen. And I know when you lose 140 to 106, you can chalk it up as, you know, everything kind of fell apart, and it did. But the Bucks were right in that Knicks game in the first quarter. They were there in the second quarter. They just didn't hit shots. Knicks did. Tonight was the other way around. At one point, the Bucks were up 28 points against one of the hottest teams in the NBA.
So just for proper context, I mentioned the numbers there and how the Bucks' efficiency has been as a team. So this isn't just Damian Lillard shots. It's how does their offense operate when that's the case. When teams say, we're just going to double-team Damian Lillard when the Bucks try a pick and roll, 51% effective field goal rate. For context, when Steph Curry is in that spot, the Warriors have a 75% effective field goal
okay.
rate.
Yeah,
when Tyrese Halliburton is in that spot, the Pacers have a 68% rate. Zach LaVine of the Bulls, 65% rate. Cade Cunningham, 63%. Ja Morant, 63%. Luka Doncic, 63%. Jalen Brunson, 62%. So it is well below. Trae Young, 61%. Well below where it needs to be. As we're talking, you know, in the case of Steph Curry, nearly 25 percentage points with the rest of that group. And you can say, well, those are some of the best guards in the league. Yeah, so is Damian Lillard. And you're 10 to 15 percentage points lower in efficiency of what they're engineering for the offense. So this is something I want to come back to and keep an eye on for the rest of the season, because it
absolutely,
I don't know that tonight was a turning point, but tonight was at least a data point where you handled it well and were able to create better offensive looks for this team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Night two of the back-to-back is tomorrow with the Magic coming to town. I want to take a look at what the Bucks have done in recent back-to-backs, night two, by the way. And the Chris Middleton conversation is today kind of snuck up on you for a couple of reasons, and why that game against the Magic is important. I touched on it a little bit on the network post-game show, but the importance of all of these games from here on out against the Magics, the Pacers, the Heat teams, the Pistons even. Tomorrow's a huge one for the Bucks, the biggest one on this homestand. We'll explain why after this.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Wire to wire win tonight for the Bucks to take down the red hot Sacramento Kings. Sacramento had won 7 games in a row. That was the longest active win streak in the NBA. It was funny too, before the game. It was December 27th when the Kings made the decision to fire Mike Brown. And before the game, Doc Rivers was asked by a Sacramento reporter, hey, you briefly touched on it, but what are, and for whatever reason, we're working through the video opening packages
an hour after the game ended
inside the arena. But what have you noticed that the Kings are doing well since making this coaching change? And everyone to stick up for his guys and get his licks in. Doc Rivers pointed to the offense and some of the things that they were doing and playing with pace, and said, yeah, they're getting back to doing all those things that Mike Brown installed here with the group. And that is what the Kings have been doing here. The offense has been leading the way, but the Bucks able to slow down that offense tonight with good defense, but also with offense of their own, as we mentioned. Granted, in fairness to the Bucks, it hasn't been a habitual thing this year, but when it feels like the wheels are kind of falling off defensively, it's been the same type of teams, and teams that are playing at a fast pace, getting into the paint, either scoring or finding open shooters from there. That is everything the Bucks did to the Kings tonight. They were also playing at a high tempo. They were getting in the paint. Giannis obviously having a field day there. Brooke Lopez had a big day. And that just forced the Kings to collapse and allowed open shooters to take over for the Bucks. So this was an important start to the homestand tomorrow, and we talked about this after the loss to the Knicks too. Tomorrow to me was always the most important game, because the Magic are still in front of you in the standings. You had momentarily moved past them with your win Friday night in Orlando, but then the Knicks game happens, the Magic won a couple of games, and the Bucks were not only behind Orlando, they were sixth and not far behind the Detroit Pistons, catching them for sixth. Tomorrow night, a win means you win the season series against Orlando. Regardless of what happens in that fourth game, you would improve to 3-0 against the Magic with just one game remaining. It's important because Orlando is going to get healthy. Tomorrow is not going to be the day for that. And wow, we are really doing this now, huh?
Yeah, they're getting ready. They're getting ready for the Orlando game here, apparently.
Orlando's not going to be healthy tomorrow. They're going to start to get bodies back. And in the interim, they have played well without their most important pieces, especially offensively, just finding ways to win these games and stay in the thick of it with their best players out. The point of this is you're not going to, you know, make up that ground against the Cavs, against the Celtics, against the Knicks. You've lost the head-to-head series in all of those matchups. You have yet to lose this season, not lose the series, lose, period, against those teams that as of right now are bunched up with you. The Magic, the Pacers, the Miami Heat, the Pistons. You're 1-1 against the Hawks, but one loss against those teams that may finish where you are, they may finish in front of you. Like, this is why tomorrow is important, because while those games, you know, much has been made of the 0-8 against the top three teams, you can do the inverse. And you can be the story of these other teams asking, man, why is Orlando 0-3 against the Bucks? Why are the Pacers 0-2 now, potentially 0-3? The Pistons 0-2, and having those conversations. It's important to keep those teams at bay if you're not going to make up ground on the teams in front of them.
Yeah, and I think you and I agree, Justin, going into after that Knicks game, after the, we were looking at the four-game homestand and which game we thought that we kind of wanted to circle as being the most important. I think you and I were both in agreement that it was this upcoming game against Orlando. The response tonight from the Bucks is kind of what I was expecting. I didn't think they would win by 15 and at one point be up 28 points against the Knicks team. I thought they would win tonight, but I didn't think it would be as deciding as it was tonight. But you're not going to play the Cavs anymore. You're not going to play Boston anymore. You got one more chance at the Knicks. At best, you're going to be 1-8 against those top teams.
You got one more with the Cavs.
You got one more. Okay, one more with the Cavs, one more with the Knicks. At best, you'll be 2-8 against those teams. I think we can kind of put it to rest that they're just, as of right now in the season, they're just a level clearly ahead of the Bucks. But right now, that is a great opportunity for this team to match up with this Orlando team, because it's it really is. I mean, if the playoffs were to start today, and I know that's a cliche thing to say, and it's not going to happen, but this is who the Bucks would match up with. We talked about it when they were here for the NBA Cup and like how we would endure a 7-game series between these two teams that just slug it out defensively and score. You know, it's tough to get buckets and easy buckets at least. It's a pivotal game for me. And again, it's another measuring stick for this Bucks team that is, again, I feel like I say this every show, but it's just that, hey, you just won by 15 against one of the NBA's hottest teams. Good luck, because in 20 hours, you're going right up against the Orlando Magic team, who, by the way, Justin, haven't played since Sunday. So they're not healthy, but they're well-rested coming in to Milwaukee. So, but the Bucks are not, but the Bucks are home. So it's an opportunity for them to kind of, again, put themselves into, put their backs against the wall and kind of fight back and prove to themselves, you know, because this is, you know, between Orlando and Indiana and Miami, those are likely, you know, you could throw, I guess, Detroit in there. Those are likely going to be one of your first matchups going into the postseason.
Well, and
hopefully
you win tomorrow, you send the Magic to 23-19.
Yep.
So you move past them in the standings, but the 19 is the number to focus on, because I mean, it's too early to get into the standings watch and that aspect of things, but what I would implore everyone, and this is, I've been on this stance for the last few years here, just look at the losses. Pay attention to the loss column, because those are gone. You can't make those up. You can make up the wins. You're two wins back of them. You can win two games and get there. You can't shave off those losses. So keep an eye on that. And a win tomorrow, again, you move in front of the Magic in the standings. You hand them their 19th loss, which would be two more than you have. Same number as the Indiana Pacers. Same number as the Pistons. Same number as the Hawks. It would just be the Miami Heat with 18 losses. So you would be two up there with the head-to-head tiebreaker in hand. So a big one tomorrow. And you know, I mentioned, and you talked about too, 2 days off for the Orlando Magic as they get set for this game. But they're not going to be healthy. So we looked at this during the game, and the Magic have updated their injury report since. We're not going to have a clear picture on the Bucks until tomorrow. I mean, the assumption is Chris Middleton is going to play. And I do want to get to that in a second, what went into today's decision. But for tomorrow, the Magic have already ruled out Gary Harris. They have already ruled out Jalen Suggs, who missed the last game as well. Both the Wagner brothers are out once again as Franz is getting closer to his return from an oblique strain. Mo is out for the season with a torn ACL. But Goga Bitadze, who's been starting at center for them, is listed as questionable with a hip contusion. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is questionable with a knee strain. So this team, it's one thing after another for the Magic. It could be a very banged-up group tomorrow that comes to Milwaukee. And that's the only, not even blemish, but the only thing you would look at this one and say, well, you know, the one thing I really wish I would have seen is the margin stayed at 20 throughout the fourth quarter. So instead of the last, what, 2 minutes, we could have got Giannis and Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez and the rest of the group 6 minutes of game time rest, because the medical staff has that data. They have percentages of how much it helps minute by minute to get rest in the games. And I remember the last time the Bucks had a back-to-back, we did not see the actual data or what the number was, but we're told it is significant. You know, if we get an extra 3 minutes where Giannis isn't exerting himself throughout the course of the game, it's a significant advantage for him in tomorrow's game. So you would have liked to see that. But nonetheless, it didn't feel like a high-stress game for Giannis with those 33 points.
Were you surprised he played 37 minutes tonight? I mean, I know the Kings got within 11.
They got to 11.
I think was the lowest.
I got to 11.
Giannis had 37. Dame played 35. I guess that does feel kind of high on the outside looking in now. But I mean, the Bucks called the timeout. It was 107-96. The Kings had rattled off a few buckets, and it definitely wasn't over. And there was a lot of time left in the game too. He emptied his bench with like what, 3-4 minutes left?
Yeah, there's about 8 minutes left when it was down to 11, and then Damian Lillard hit a big basket.
Yeah. Yep.
And it took about 2 to 3 minutes before you ballooned that thing back up to 19 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw still a little bit of, all right, we can't just fully pull the plug now because Sacramento could easily go on an 8-0 run, and maybe time is still on our side, but you're still starting to feel a little bit nervous. So in that respect, yeah, I guess a little bit of surprise, but it was still three and a half minutes of game time rest that you were able to get those guys down the stretch in this one. Chris Middleton didn't play in this game today. I think we may have taken it for granted that he played in both sets of the back-to-back the first time in his return this season, that getting to the game today, I didn't even think about it. That the assumption was just, well, we've seen Chris playing, so sure, he's going to play in both of these. And then checking the injury report once again and saying, oh yeah, well, I guess we're doing this. And Doc Rivers shared his thoughts on that. I want to get your thought on that, and then also what this team has done of late in game two of a back-to-back. It's been an area of strength through the years for this Bucks team. It did not start that way this season, but we have seen a bit of a change since the first 2-3 weeks of the regular season. So we'll get to that coming up after this.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
.130 to .115 final. The Bucks with a wire to wire win against the Sacramento Kings tonight. They're 21-17 on the season and back up to fifth now in the East. They welcome the Magic to town tomorrow night for night two of a back-to-back. We just ran through the injury report for the Magic. If you missed it, it's a lot that have been ruled out or listed as questionable for Orlando. They are still going to be playing without Franz Wagner. They're playing without Mo Wagner for the rest of the season. It'll be the second straight time the Bucks face them without both Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs. So one after another, a banged up Orlando Magic team that is going to be here in Milwaukee tomorrow. But Chris Middleton, did you assume he was going to miss today's game?
I kind of figured he would. Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? He looked good against the New York Knicks, too, I thought.
He was efficient offensively.
He looked good. He looked good against the Knicks, but looking at the schedule, yeah, I figured one or the other.
Just being used to seeing Chris Middleton out there and the fact that, again, the first set of back-to-backs the Bucks had when Chris was back, he played in. I didn't even give it any consideration. And I thought, that's right.
Interesting.
He's out tonight, and Doc even said when he was asked about it, it's just a back-to-back. We had to choose one game and felt like this would give him more days of rest if we did it this way. So that part of the answer and just everything that we've heard Doc Rivers talk about in the last week or 2 weeks about Chris Middleton, even joked after his presser today, very pleased it was only 2.5 minutes versus the standard 10-plus minutes from Doc Rivers. And even joked of, hey, I mean, these are fun when I don't have to answer questions about injuries.
Yeah.
Between what he had to say last week and that line of, it's just a back-to-back, leads me to believe, yeah, he did it once, but we're not seeing that again this season from Chris Middleton.
Well, and that might have been why, you know, he missed a few of the games after. I mean, I'm speculating, of course. I have no information on that.
Well, he only missed the game that he missed. What up until the most recent one was the illness, like it, and technically he didn't miss it because it was the game that didn't happen against the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, true. Okay. Yep, you're right.
But the Bucks started the season with back-to-back losses on night two of a back-to-back. Since then, they have played four back-to-backs, and on night two, they've won three of their last four. And I point that out because the two losses, remember, it was very early in the season that those were part of the first 10 games of the season when this team was still very much in the throes of it, still starting to figure things out and not playing to the level that we've seen of late when they were 2-8. The second one was that loss to the Knicks. That was night two of a back-to-back, and that dropped them to 2-8 on the season. You had just throttled the Utah Jazz, and we felt like, all right, here's where they're starting to pull out of it, but then you lose to the Knicks. So we have seen this Bucks team playing much more consistently and playing much better on night two of a back-to-back since that stretch. And as mentioned before, that was really a big staple of the Bucks, not just the last couple of years, since 2018 when this version of the Bucks arrived and was a perennial championship threat.
Tom, looking at the schedule now, it looks like they've won. So they lost against the Knicks, but then it looks like they won their next two. Second leg of a back-to-back.
Yeah, and then they had a loss and they won the most recent one.
And I remember that, too. I vividly remember it because it was around Halloween when they went into Brooklyn, kind of laid an egg in Brooklyn. It was an ugly game. And then their second leg of a back-to-back was in Boston, and then you're like, oh, boy.
Yep.
You drop one in Brooklyn, and now you're in Boston. And that was actually
That was the first week of the season.
Yeah, and that was almost one of the better games in that ugly stretch that they had where they started 2-8. They won two games in there, but that game in Brooklyn, you felt like, even though it was a loss, that second leg of a back-to-back, you felt good about it. Like, it wasn't the outcome that you had anticipated or hoped for, but it was a good feeling. So, this is the team that just, Justin, all year long has really, and I'm sure you could probably make the case for every team in the NBA. The Orlando Magic are certainly one of those teams that are dealing with a lot of adversity, but it feels like this team is just kind of answers the bell every time they're put to the test, and tonight was another example of it. You know, they're going to get put right back to the test tomorrow on a second night of a back-to-back, and you hope. Did he talk about Gary Trent Jr. at all?
Before the game, yeah. And okay. There was no clear indication on tomorrow. Just said he's made progress with the hip, but he's just not ready to play yet. So
okay, so you probably won't see him tomorrow. I'm going to assume, but you will see. You think we will see Chris Middleton tomorrow?
That was the indication from Doc Rivers to say it was just a back to back and we had to choose one game.
Yeah,
if he doesn't play tomorrow,
sense, yeah.
It means something that they
flared
did not
up.
Expect
yeah.
happened. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see that matchup tomorrow because, again, I think this is a big one for the Bucks, certainly, to kind of get above. I don't think they've been above five games above 500 this year yet. I think four games was the high water
four,
mark.
Four, I believe, is the high.
Twice now, because they were four games going into New York. We obviously lost that game, and they bounced right back tonight. So I'm curious to see if they can get up to that fifth game above 500. That doesn't mean anything, but I think for a team that had the start that they had, Justin, and the injuries that they've endured, and the scheduling, and the back-to-backs that we're obviously talking about, I think that would be a huge win, not only for the reasons I laid out, but the ones you laid out earlier, when it comes to seeding against this Orlando Magic team, a team that you're likely going to have to go through, come, you know, if the, you know, standings stay where they're at for the next few months, a team that you're going to have to go through in the postseason. So definitely going to be a fun one tomorrow.
Yeah, four is the high. They've done it three times.
Okay.
And so a win tomorrow gives you the most cushion.
I mean, hey,
500.
Couple things to play for tomorrow.
For a team that did not get to above 500 until the final day of November.
No kidding. Yeah, that was against Washington. You're right. Yeah. Again, that and then that's all. Giannis talks about it. I know he says it almost after every game, but these are the things about building good habits. You know, getting in to a team that you're going to play in the playoffs, or that you're at least going to have to get past, you know, in the seeding or in a series. It's important. I mean, it's important. This is kind of where, you know, in my opinion, this is kind of where the season starts to kind of take off, Justin. You kind of ascend or descend going in to the All-Star break. And then, obviously, you, as you know, after the All-Star break, it's on. I mean, it's on. And you're just a few weeks, 6 weeks, I believe, out from the playoffs after that All-Star break. So the Bucks, I think, have a great opportunity in front of them. Obviously, they have a handful of home games, you know, the next three home games against teams that I think are winnable, Toronto and Philly. Philly, I don't know if you saw Philly's injury report tonight. That's Sunday's matchup. But tonight, I don't even know if they feel it.
It was night one of a back-to-back for Philly.
So it's a great opportunity for, you know, to get to that high watermark at five games over 500 after the start that you had. You've even could look back after the start they had for the start of the new year where they lost to Brooklyn and Portland in back-to-back games. So, again, this is a good moment for this team, a good opportunity in front of them. I think the next few games are very, very winnable games. And then you face that West Coast road trip, and then before you know it, you and I are in the All-Star break, and the playoffs are right around the corner.
With this performance tonight, the Bucks offense, like, let's hope this is a turning point for this group to consistently start to piece together some of these types of showings. I mean, I'm not suggesting 130 points per game is the norm for this group. It's the first time this season the Bucks have scored 130 in a game, and they are the second-to-last team to reach that mark. There's only one team in the league that has yet to score 130 points in a game.
Is it Orlando?
It is not Orlando.
Okay.
Wow. They play in the East.
Brooklyn?
They are on this homestand for the Bucks.
Oh, Toronto. Philly.
No, it is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Wow.
Okay. Who have yet to score 130 points. But you had your season high in offensive production. You had your season high for points in a quarter. You had your second highest amount of points scored in a half. So hopefully this is the moment where we see this team start to figure it out offensively, because a couple of things happened in most recent days here. The disaster in New York dropped the Bucks down to 12th in defensive rating for the season as a whole. Since the 2-8 start, they're still 12th. They've consistently been there. So if we look at, you know, the full picture of these, 38 games played, the Bucks have been consistently mid this season. They're 13th in offense, 12th in defense, 13th in net rating. So start to put together a sample size where the offense is moving the needle, because while we've said, hey, the defense has been consistently a top 10-ish level defense, you can live with a 12th or 13th or somewhere around there, as long as it's not dipping below 14th, 15th. You can live with that defensively if your offense is starting to click up to 9th, 8th, 7th, somewhere around there. So let's start to see the compass point in that direction for the Bucks on the offensive side of the floor. You mentioned the Philadelphia injury report. that's another thing to keep an eye on for the rest of this homestand for the Bucks. We spent a lot of time in the big one tomorrow against the Orlando Magic. One that we're kind of glossing over against the Toronto Raptors, and hopefully that does not come back to bite the Bucks. But the last game is going to be interesting as well, and it's not necessarily just because of the matchup with Philly, but because of the schedule. So we'll start to take a look at that coming up after this.
This is Bucks Talk. Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so back-to-back tomorrow for the Bucks is not even halfway through this, the volume of back-to-backs, I should say.
Ridiculous.
So their next set is next week.
Yeah.
You have at New Orleans on Wednesday, here against Miami on Thursday.
That's terrible.
That is part of Rivals Week, as the Miami Heat have been dubbed the Bucks' rival. And then you have one less than a week later.
Jesus.
In late January against the Blazers on the road, the Trail Blazers on the road.
Yeah.
Then you have another one less than a week later, home against the Memphis Grizzlies, February 2nd. In Oklahoma City against the Thunder.
Nope, chalking that one up.
On February 3rd. And then you have another one a week later, just before the All-Star break, home against the 76ers on Sunday, February 9th. Home against the Golden State Warriors, Monday, February 10th. The rest of your back-to-backs are after the All-Star break, which I believe includes their first game out of the All-Star break. So February 20th and 21st. March 4th and 5th, March 8th and 9th, March 15th and 16th, and April 9th and 10th. So you're two of your last 3 days of the regular season. But they beat the Wizards in their most recent night two of a back-to-back. They had lost to the Hawks prior to that. That was the game after beating the Pistons to punch their ticket to the quarterfinals of the NBA Cup. And that was a game that I think a lot of us kind of assumed, this is going to be a loss. You just had that emotional win.
You did, yeah.
Guys were out in that game against the Hawks as well. You beat the Hornets prior to that. You beat the Pistons prior to that in overtime. So they've consistently started to play much better on night two of a back-to-back, and you get another crack at it tomorrow. But, you know, as we just mentioned, the remaining opponents the Bucks have on night two of a back-to-back, the Magic tomorrow, the Miami Heat next week, which, by the way, Jimmy Butler is off suspension Saturday. His suspension runs through Friday, and according to the reports, has already met with Pat Riley and said, I have no intention on signing the contract, so trade me.
I was going to say, if he's even in Miami.
The Thunder are in that group. The Warriors are in that group. The Mavericks are in that group. Your final game against the Cavs is night two of a back-to-back. Both of your games left against the Thunder are night twos of back-to-back. So
great joy.
It's not only the volume, it's the opponents that the Bucks have on that list. Real quick, as we start to wrap here, I don't want to overlook the Toronto Raptors, because we just saw the Raptors beat the Warriors last night, and they are the exact type of team that can give the Bucks fits. But let's almost overlook them to look ahead to after tomorrow, Sunday night. Only the second time the Bucks will have seen the 76ers this season, the first since opening night. And that is night two of a back-to-back for Philly. So Philly's week this week, tonight, playing against, oh, by the way, maybe the best team in the league, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Tomorrow night against the New York Knicks. Then you get a couple of days off. And then Saturday night in Indy against the Pacers. Sunday night in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Pacers and Bucks may be tied in the standings. So how do you determine which of those two games you're going to hold Joel Embiid and Paul George out of?
It's a great question. It's probably going to be the one against the Bucks, I would imagine.
Well, I guess we will find out Sunday night.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Bucks. I hope not, because I'll be here, but I would love to see it. But they're closer to Indiana than the Milwaukee right now in the standings, so maybe that's how they view it. I don't know.
Not by much.
I suppose. We're all kind of jumped in there together.
Tomorrow night, night two of a back-to-back, a big one against the Orlando Magic, a chance for the Bucks to win the season series, get the tiebreaker, and move back into fourth place in the Eastern Conference. 7 o'clock tip-off tomorrow, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these airwaves. And be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.